Yeah, I mean, I fell off a ladder once. I smashed my knees. It was like literally 1 month in, and had to go to the hospital for that. Yeah, average day, man.
Falling off a ladder, going to the hospital, kids. That's what. Yeah,
just be careful with dog hair on the floor. You never know; those ladders slip.
Dog hair?
Dog hair.
That's what caused it.
I think so. It was in a warehouse. Did you want me to give you the details?
Yeah, let's hear the story. Welcome back to Bluntly Bears. My name is Alex, and I'm joined by my good friend Daniel Bispale here today, who has gone through a number of different opportunities in life. And today he is working as an electrician at a local company here in Vancouver, Washington, where I live as well. Well, Daniel, it's nice to have you here. As I've already said to the guests, you're in the electrical field, but maybe you can kind of fill us in a little bit more on kind of what you actually do right now at the company you're at.
Yeah, specifically, I am a residential electrical apprentice.
Residential?
Yeah, residential. So in the state of Washington, you got your residential, commercial. So residential is just like working in houses, you know, people that live in there. I am an apprentice, so it's only been about a year since I've been doing this. And it's a lot of work. The pay isn't that great, but it is fun. Like, I do enjoy it every now and again. But then you also have your bad days. You do rough-ins, which is just like new construction for houses. Pretty much, you don't do any of the buildings and stuff, which is commercial stuff. So it's all like attic work, crawl space work. If you're adding lights in the kitchen, that's us adding plugs, switches, all that general stuff, heating and cooling stuff. We hook that stuff up. I don't know. It's a lot of different stuff, honestly.
Yeah. And so you're saying residential. So it is like, is there an option for you to go for commercial only, or how does that work for?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on the company you work for. Like my company, they do both commercial and residential, but it's just we have so many guys that are only licensed for residential, so we can rarely ever do commercial. And when we do get a chance to do it, the guys who have been there for like 7, 8 to 10 right. years or whatever, they're the ones who get to do those commercial jobs because they need to rack up their hours so then they can get their license. So for me, who's been here for just 1 year, it's going to take me forever to get that. But then there are those other businesses, other companies that do a lot of commercial work, and they got like 40 guys, I mean, on staff. I mean, our guys, there's only 9 of us, so... Mm. Going to be a while for me to get a commercial license unless I switch to another company or something. So for now, it's just going to be residential.
Got it. Yeah. Are most companies like that? Like most companies are pretty small, like in the electric field, or?
I mean, my knowledge on, you know, the different companies out there. I mean, I've only worked with this company, 9 guys, but based on my research, I've seen some other companies that, you know, their website looks polished. It looks nice. They got like 40 guys, 30 guys. That's still a lot of guys. Even 12 guys is a good amount. But the guys that I know, the companies, like my buddy Tim, he knows some electricians that work for certain companies. They're like 2-3 guys on their company staff. So, I mean, most of it that I know, it's small. But, you know, they have the bigger ones.
So there's not like a lot of like nationwide firms, right? It's mostly like local places.
Yeah, it's all local places because you have different laws in different states. Like Oregon, you have to have a certain apprenticeship program, the JATC program. Washington has slightly different laws over in other states, like say in the Midwest, like take for example, Missouri or something. it's all separated by counties. So every little county has their own different laws and all that. Yeah, so it just really depends on where you're living at.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess it's always interesting to know, like, kind of growing up and as a kid, like, did you always kind of want to go in this aspect, in this field, or kind of what were you thinking as a kid?
This is one of those jobs where it's like nobody ever wanted to become an electrician when they were a kid. Like when they're thinking, oh, when I grow up, I want to be an electrician. No, nobody ever thought that. But I mean, like, I went to college for a little bit. I dropped out, went back to college, dropped out again, went back to college a third time, dropped out again. But I switched my degree like 5 or 6 times. I think originally, what was it going to be? Like film, I think was the
first
thing.
Yeah, you were going to film school, right?
Because I like editing videos back in high school, and that was fun. But yeah, it switched from there because I didn't like certain aspects of the film degree I was in. Like I if we're going to talk about film, like I liked the part where it was like editing, doing the actual filming and all the hands-on stuff, you know? And then the classes I was taking in the beginning was like watching a movie and dissecting it and, you know, taking it apart and all that stuff. And I'm not good at that stuff, but you know, you got to get through that stuff in order to get to the good stuff. Then I switched my degree a couple of times and never found what I really wanted. And then I ended up doing this.
So going into college, did you have any other ideas before college? Or like when you were going to high school, when you were in middle school, like, did you kind of have an idea of what you wanted to do?
I mean, when I was in middle school, I wanted to be, because I played a lot of video games, as a lot of kids my age did, a video game tester or designer or something like that. And I had no idea how to do that. And then my parents always told me, oh, you can't really do that. That's not really a career. I mean, it is a career for some people, but you got to be like artistic and stuff like that. I don't know what you got to be, but that's where I wanted to be. And then going into high school, I thought, I took a media arts class in high school and I really liked that. So that's why I was like, let's go to for film. And my dad always wanted me to go to college. So I was like, well, they have film degrees, so let's try that. And then I switched it to business. Then I switched to criminal justice because I had a job working security at Sears and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then what else did I switch it to? Like nursing or something?
I don't know.
Nursing was the last one. But there were a couple. Oh, political science was one too. I took one class. And I just could never figure it out. But then I was just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm not going to be that. Oh, and I knew this guy from my church, Brandon, who his dad owns an electric company. So it's kind of about who you know and all that. And so he hooked me up with a job being an electrical apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I'm here. But eventually we'll move maybe to Missouri. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a job that's relevant everywhere, right?
Yeah, so that was another thought I had. Because this job is everywhere. You know, you can be an electric. They need electricians everywhere. Power and all that stuff. Wiring things up.
Yep.
So that's kind of why I chose this field. So we'll see how it sticks out.
Makes sense. So, yeah, you changed your degree a few different times. And mm-hmm. you were kind of figuring out a few different times. Were you a good student? Like, were you getting good grades? Did you like school?
I was okay at it. In middle school, I was great at school. High school, I was great. I went to this public charter school. You went there too, you know, CMC, Clackamas Middle College. It was pretty challenging. And then I left that school and went to Oregon City High School, just a regular public school. And then when I switched, like regular public school, straight A's I got on all my report cards and all that. Then I went back to the public charter school and like B's, C's kind of, it was more of a challenge. And then they also gave you college classes at the same time. And I was okay. Depends on the class. English, I was really good at, but other classes I wasn't. Then when college came, I don't know. It depends on the class, like media arts and stuff, all those film classes, except for the ones that I was talking about with the watching movies and writing papers on them. I sucked at those. But the actual hands-on stuff, oh, I loved that stuff. It was so fun editing videos. But generally, I was an average student.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like most of the like fields that you were looking at and thinking about were mostly hands-on stuff. It wasn't theory stuff. It was more like doing stuff with, you know.
Well, the film, what else did it?
You were talking about political science.
Justice. Yeah, one class, and I was like, screw this crap. This is way too much.
But criminal justice, nursing, things like
criminal that. Criminal justice, I mean, it was cool, but I didn't really know why I chose that. I mean, was it really just because I worked loss prevention at Sears? Nursing, I ended up doing like a CNA class to like, you know, work at a, what are those old folks homes? But the nursing homes. And, you know, that's how you see if you really like it. And then you get your little, you know, certificate that you're a CNA now. Work that job. And when I was working at that nursing home, I was like, I hate this. Like, I don't care about I don't care about people and like customer service and all that stuff.
It's a good thing to admit. Not everyone is
meant. I know there's people who are like, oh, like I want to be a psychiatrist and help people. I'm like, get out of here. I don't care about
look, that. Look, I think helping people has to do with it, but
it's important.
If you're thinking about a career, like what's the point of a career? It's to like do something, like it's to make
put the
money.
Bread on the table. Yeah, that's the point. I mean, like, I don't know. There's different personalities for different people. Those of those types of people that want to help people and all that, you go ahead and do those careers, like be a licensed therapist or something, or what else? Help the poor. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, look, if you're really about helping people, you do your job for free. Mm-hmm. If you're making money, that's the ultimate. Well,
you can do both, help people and make money, but
yeah, but
it's a niche.
You know, it's one of those things for me, like I'm trying to make money so that then I can not worry about that and like focus on helping people. If you're focused on both at once, one is going to take priority at some point eventually, right?
Yeah. Why not? Are you saying make the money now and then later help people with the money that you've accrued?
Yeah. I mean, that's
perfectly fine. I don't see how that's
obviously, not selfish, obviously, sure. If you're somewhere like, you know, and if you're a doctor, right? Like ultimately your job is to help people, right?
Yeah. And you'll take pride in your work, right? But like ultimately, sure, there's some people who are like, you know, I want to become a doctor to help people. But there are those who just want it. They know how much a doctor makes and like,
yeah,
shoot, I want to make that.
I mean, even my job, like, okay, I have to help customers.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not doing it because I love helping customers. I do enjoy that part, but I'm doing it for the paycheck and the fact that I can help customers while I'm doing it. I don't hate my job. So like,
well, even in my job, like we've done jobs where it's a heating and cooling job. So we have to hook up like some kind of heat pump outside of the house and we're providing heat for the customer. They're happy with it and I have fun doing it too. And when the customer sees, you know, all the hookups that I've did and stuff and they're super happy about it, like I am proud of my work at times. Or when we do cut-ins for like adding new lights in their kitchen and stuff, they're super happy about those new pendants or chandelier that we added. And, you know, that gratefulness transfers onto me and I'm like, oh, I'm proud of my work that I did there and I'm glad that the customer is happy about it. But ultimately that's not why I chose that field. Like I chose that field because eventually I can make good money. I just have to stick with it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think they correlate, right? Like the more happy your customers are, the more likely they're going to pay you like better money or they're going to refer you or they're going to get you for another job. So then you're going to make more money. So like they kind of they go hand in hand. But yeah, back to it, like back to the original point. Like I don't think when you're picking your future and your career, you can only think about what's going to help other people. Because if you want to go help other people, you can go like hand out food to homeless people. That's not a job. Yeah. That's something that's going to make you feel good on your inside. But I mean, it's
in
not
Portland,
a job.
They have those jobs, right?
In Portland, they got plenty of those jobs. You're right.
Yeah.
One thing I think would be interesting to kind of hear for the audience. Obviously, I know a good chunk of this, but like growing up, what were your parents doing, and kind of what were their were they pushing you or were they pushing you into any specific direction?
I mean, just before I was born, my mom was a real estate agent. My dad has been a doctor for who knows how long.
And you were born where?
Texas.
Texas. Sorry.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I was born in Texas only because my dad was doing medical training down there with my mom. And
your dad does what in medicine?
Anesthesiology specifically. Okay, yeah. So, but he went to school for like 17 freaking years to become what he is. But that's because he switched his degrees multiple times, actually.
Wait, you're saying like
switched school his in total? Field. Yeah, in total.
Like, so years. Including high school?
No.
College. Oh, just in total?
Yeah, just college.
17 years.
College, medical school.
Oh, wow.
Residential.
And then like, oh, okay, all the
and he was internal medicine at first, which took a few years. I don't know how long it actually takes. Then he went to family physician. He's like, yeah, this is nice too, but not exactly what I want to do, then anesthesiology. So total out to 16 years and then another year after anesthesiology to do pain medicine or something for a year.
That's dedication. That's a lot of time.
He's still going to school all the time. He got his PhD because he was taking classes for fun from a California
university. Oh, in
history or something,
right?
Yeah, like Russian history.
Interesting.
And so like sitting on the toilet reading books and then, you know, he's taking Russian history classes, you know, stuff about World War II, World War I. And then he's like, oh, I'm only a few classes away from getting my degree. Might as well just finish. And so he did that and then goes down to California for his graduation. So always been about school. Once I was born, mom was stay at home for all four of us kids.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm the oldest. And then, my dad, he was doctor. So high standards for us. And then he eventually, you know, go to high school. Then he eventually told us, like, I want you guys to go to college and get your master's degree. And then, you know, that's the standard I have for you. Freaking master's. What am I going to do with a master's degree? I, I can barely finish high school. I mean, high school is easy and stuff, but I'm freaking like 16, 17 years old. And you're telling me, all right, I want you guys to get your master's degree. That was in order to get the will or whatever. That was the whole deal. Like, if you want to be in my will, you got to get a master's degree. And then, you know, through all of us, all four of us kind of not telling him off, but like arguing with him through the years, eventually he lowered it down the standard to, okay, fine, just get your bachelor's degree. Whatever degree you want, just get a bachelor's degree and then you can stay in the will. Also, no tattoos, otherwise you're removed from the will. Because he also removes tattoos at his clinic. So then, out of all the kids, Joe and Andrew, my two brothers, they got their degrees, their college degrees. Rachel, the youngest sister, she is going to get her degree in like a year or two. A year or two already. Well, she's like, I don't know how old she is.
19.
She's seven years younger than me. I'm 27. She's 20.
Yeah.
Frick. And I'm the oldest and I still don't have my degree. I'm the last one. But I'm registering for classes. So we'll see. Degree in construction. So it has to do with my career right now, which is electrician. So, I mean, hopefully I stick with it this time. But yeah, we'll see. So high standards for my parents.
High standards. So like they didn't give you a specific nudge and like a specific direction. They just more cared
about. Well, I mean, they wanted medical. Yeah. Ultimately, my dad, like as a doctor, he wanted someone to take over his practice. And, you know, he tried for me. I didn't want to do it. He tried for Joe, the next one, didn't want to do it. Tried Andrew, you know, to be a nurse or something, didn't want to do it. Andrew went for coding. And so now he's going to retire eventually. But yeah, none of us wanted to go into medical. But that was the main push. Like, be a nurse or something. That's why I chose that one degree. I was like,
right,
me and Joe, we're going to go into nursing, take over the clinic and all that. It's a good plan and stuff, but neither of us cared for it. We're like, biology sucks.
Okay. So yeah, they did care about that.
Yeah. Oh, another one was, I wouldn't count this as a degree, but I wanted to get my real estate license.
Right. A couple times,
my mom,
right?
Was like, yeah. When we were living together.
Yeah.
I was going to go back into that. Never worked out. It's too much customer service. I don't give a crap about that.
So that's cool. So yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously a lot of pressure. So, I mean, it seems like most of what you're describing was coming from your dad. Was your mom, I mean, your mom was just kind of on board with whatever your dad set out for you guys, or?
Pretty much. I feel like before we were born, they had a discussion about like, okay, how are we going to raise the kids? So like, we got to stay on the same page. And like me with my wife now, we have those talks right now before we have kids. We're like,
smart.
We have to stay on the same page. It can't be, we can't let the kids divide us.
United front.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that they had some kind of discussion about that too. And so whatever my dad says, that's the rules. And my mom will sometimes argue against him, but for the most part, I think she agrees with him because me and my mom have had talks before. Like when I was super mad at my dad, I moved out or I got kicked out of the house because I wasn't going to college. And she would be like, look, like I know that you guys are fighting, you and your dad, but like, you know, he has a good point. Like, you know, you can't be switching degrees all the time. He just wants you to finish college. Like, can you just do that for him? I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. But now that I'm older, I have a feeling that maybe I can achieve this finally. I'm 27 years old right now. Let's see what happens. I'm more mature. My brain has matured. Do you know the brain matures?
Male
for a man?
Brain matures 25
at what age?
Years.
25. Yeah. I'm 27. I haven't gone to school since I was like, 23, I think?
Man. I mean, that's probably better than otherwise, right? Like your parents are kind of on the same page. They pushed you and you tried multiple times
I mean, I got this buddy, Tim. I've talked about him earlier. You know this guy.
Yeah. Barely.
That was an inside joke.
I was gone for multiple years. So
anyway, this guy, Tim, he has parents that are kind of the opposite. And we've talked about this before. Tim, his parents are like, oh, we don't care what you do. Like all they care about is the church, which I get it, you know, but like he wanted to be a thoracic surgeon or something. Right. Remember that?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were like, oh, they didn't care about that stuff at all. And you know, they didn't put pressure on him or nothing like that, but he achieved that. Not thoracic surgeon, but he got his bachelor's degree. And what did he get it in? Microbiology?
Just biology.
Biology. Yeah. And they didn't push him or nothing. On the other hand, my parents were pushing me, and I was just like not wanting to go. I guess it was because I was a privileged white boy or something like that.
Privileged white boy.
Yeah. So
no, I think it's quite the opposite, because like people think like, oh, you grew up with a dad that was a doctor, like you probably had everything handed to you.
No,
but I feel like, yeah, growing up, like it's probably the opposite. Like your dad really wanted you to work for everything you had, right?
Yeah. It's like Bill Gates as a father, you know? I mean, yeah, like sure, maybe we were spoiled a little bit. Like we got video game systems, but then again, we paid for those. We had to work for that money to buy those systems and stuff. But like, yeah, like anything we wanted, we had to pay for.
Your first job, what was it? Holding signs for your dad?
Oh, yeah, for their clinic. $5 an hour?
That's $5 an hour.
Yeah, holding signs off of 82nd Avenue in Clackamas to advertise tattoo removal clinic. Had their phone number and all that. Standing around for like 6-7 hours, just holding a sign, listening to music on my iPod Touch. Third generation. Yeah, that was my first job, technically. But, you know, it was under the table stuff. But yeah, clean the clinic sometimes. Andrew, the third youngest out of the family, he had to clean the clinic a lot for money while he was in school. But yeah, you had to work for what you wanted. So yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, did you hate that as a kid? Like it probably sucked growing up, right? Like seeing like your parents had money, but you feel like you never really tasted that or felt it.
I don't know.
Did you really think about that as a kid?
I didn't even think about that as a kid. I mean, we all hung out as kids and like,
yeah,
we all had the same similar lives, right?
More or less.
Yeah. I mean, we all had fun hanging out and stuff. I mean, it's not like my parents bought me a car at first. Like I got to drive one of their cars. Yes. But to own my own car, like I had to go buy it on my own, but my dad wouldn't really want me to buy my own car because like, why, you have these other cars, but I wanted my own car. So, I mean, yeah, I'm trying to think of stuff where I was a spoiled little rich kid or something, but I wasn't really. Like, I wore Columbia jackets just like the rest of y'all.
Columbia. I couldn't afford Columbia.
Oh, really?
No, but I think it's cool. Like, you guys had a normal upbringing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think your parents, I mean, obviously I'm not a parent, so I can't really commentate on parenting, but like, I feel like they did a really good job of keeping you guys grounded.
Yeah.
And really setting you up for success. Like, you guys were all pretty frugal, I would say, right? Like, you're more or less like, all of your family is pretty wise with spending. Like, I mean, your dad is still pretty frugal. And
I mean, you go to our house, not the last house in Oregon City. That was a big house. But after we sold that and stuff, small little house on the side of the river.
Okay. I don't know if that's a great example. That's a really nice house.
Is it really?
It's on a freaking river, man.
Oh, okay. Yes. The river is nice and stuff. Yeah, but
it's all decked out.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But okay, you look at, just look at how my dad dresses, for example.
I always give is, since I've known you guys since like 2010, so for like 11 years now, I'm pretty sure you guys have had the same cars. Like, there's not been a new car in the family other than...
You're thinking about the Toyota Sequoia, right?
The Sequoia, the Pathfinder.
The Nissan Pathfinder. We had a Honda CR-V. Do you remember that?
The CR-V got into the accident and you got rid of it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Lexus for freaking years, since the Deerbrook, actually.
Your grandma's...
grandma's Camry.
Joe's Corolla. Like, it's been about the same.
Who buys new cars? I don't get that. Like, yeah, they're frugal. I always think about just, if you walk into our house, though, tons of garbage in the garage. Like, just stuff that, it's not garbage, but you just don't need it. Like, you know, a little hoarder tendencies. But he's not really a hoarder, my dad, but... He's not going to watch this, is he?
No, I don't think so. I'll send it to him, but I don't think he'll...
Don't send it to him. To it
all the way.
So, yeah, stuff like that. And then you see how the way, like, my dad dresses. He always wears the same exact things every day. But I can't say that stuff because, like, I wear the same stuff every single day, too. So
no, it's cool. Is it genetic? Like, I was watching Logan Paul's podcast.
Yeah.
And they were talking about that he knows some, like, millionaires in Hollywood, and he said that like for a good chunk of those millionaires, they wear fake jewelry, and the reason being is like it looks the same as real jewelry, and they have nothing to prove. Like when you've made it, you have nothing to prove to anyone around you. So who cares if you wear $100,000 watch or $100 watch, right? Like it doesn't matter when you're trying to like clout yourself up and build yourself up and and like you're not sure of yourself or you're insecure, that's when you try to buy the expensive stuff. Like, and you try to,
with their Yeezys, their
gold chain. Yeah, so like that's what I really respect about your dad is like looking at him, he's like the stealth millionaire, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, one time he wore his scrubs from the hospital, like he just finished his shift or whatever, and he goes into a little grocery store, like little local market, and some guy says, "Hey, it's not Halloween right now." Like to him, because he looks what? Like he's dressing in a costume or something, because he's wearing scrubs and stuff. He's like, okay, why did that guy say that? Like, I just came off of work. Who cares? But now he will never wear his scrubs into a store or anything. Like, he has a change of clothes in the car just in case he needs to go to the store or buy something.
I used to hate that when I worked at Sears with you. Like, yeah. When you, well, because we worked right by the Kaiser. So you get people coming off work and they have little badges hanging off. So that everyone knows that they're working at Kaiser.
Like, Joe did that too. You know that, right?
Really?
When he worked at Gilman Park, the retirement center. He would have his apron on still because he was a server and he was 16. First job or whatever. And he'd walk around Fred Meyer buying stuff at the store. And he's wearing his apron and name tag still. Like, why are you wearing this?
Like,
scrubs, yeah, I got a job.
Scrubs is one thing because it's like it's your clothes.
Yeah.
A badge, like, you can take off.
You can take the badge off. You can take the freaking apron off. Why are you wearing that? Untuck the white button-up shirt. And just walk around like that. No one has to know that you work. I know what you were doing, Joe.
But that's cool. Like I said, like I respect that about your parents. Is
yeah,
they seem really smart with finances, and like they're really about setting up a good future for themselves, and obviously pushing you guys to do the same. So that's kind of goals for me. If I ever have kids and stuff, is kind of what I want to. What I want to do with that, and the example I want to set with
them. Yeah, as well, I mean, they've always had good intentions. Looking back, now that I'm older, 27, right. Like when I was younger, like I didn't think, oh, they're just trying to mess with me, and you know what they want for me isn't the same thing that I want. But now looking back, it's like, you know, they were pretty smart.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out this whole life thing.
So, anyways, like so, yeah, you were growing up with parents that. Were pretty successful by all means, and they pushed you to do the same thing, and
yeah.
You changed your major a few times. What were you doing before this? What were you doing before becoming an electrician?
Specifically before becoming an electrician. So I would say 3 years ago, that was when it came into my mind. Like, maybe I want to become an electrician. Three of my cousins are electricians, and they kept telling me, you know, every holiday party we get together, they're like, yeah, why don't you become an electrician? Like, it's awesome work and stuff, good money. Like, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's not really what I want to do. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And then finally, it was like 3 years earlier, I finally got it in my mind. Like, maybe I do want to become an electrician. And so I wanted to, but then to get into the apprenticeship program, it's only once a year it opens up. And so I was like, okay, let me figure out like a pathway.
And what is the apprenticeship program for those that don't know?
An apprenticeship program, this is specifically in the state of Oregon. It's a 4 to 5 year program where you sign up, you show your credentials, like your grades in math in high school, you send those transcripts in, you send all your, you know, little documents and information and stuff. You may get an interview, you may not, and you get onto a wait list after the applications are opened. And once they receive that, you know, imagine there's you, but there's also 1,500 other people that applied too.
Yeah.
And whoever has the better type of grades or whatever get higher on the list. And then they only take, say, 500 people or something. I don't know. I'm just making up a number. So then you have to wait for the next year. But your application is good for like 2-3 years.
So the apprenticeship is...
It's
a state thing. It's not like a company by company thing?
Yes. But a bunch of companies are within that are within that state have to abide by those governmental rules. So when you're in that program... Then they send you, so you in that program, you take 2 night classes a week, and then they send you to a job, like a company that you work for. So you are hired by a company, and you work for them full time. That's how you get your training, you get your hours working on the job training. But 2 nights a week, you have to take like either online classes or in-person classes, learning what it is about electrical work that you do.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much what it is.
So this is when you were just thinking about becoming an electrician.
Yeah, when I was thinking about it. So I thought, okay, I can't get into the apprenticeship program right now. What can I do to, you know, stand out, to get into it?
Right.
You know, beforehand, because, well, electrical work is somewhat of a construction thing. Like it's part of the construction work. It's a trade. So I thought, okay, what if I get into a different trade and work my way up into the electrical trade? So then I started working for a heating and cooling company, Tritech, and I only worked there for 3 months. And then that's when I got the connection for someone whose dad owns an electrical company, and then got into that using my experience. I had, you know, some hand tools and drills and impacts and stuff. And before that, I had no idea how to use any drills. I was so green, but you know,
didn't you work like construction for a little bit too?
With TJ, isn't that what you're talking about? Yeah, that was like a week. I worked at this. The only reason I quit, though, you know this, is because it was a fully Russian department.
I just remember
the American company.
I remember I was still working at Sears.
Yeah.
And you came to buy some, was it shoes?
Oh, it was Wolverine boots.
Yeah.
I remember that. I bought Wolverine boots and I bought Craftsman pry bars. And right. Because my boss was like, yeah, you need all these different tools. I was like, okay, screw it. I'm going to buy all this stuff. Spent like $400 on everything. Boots are expensive.
They are.
Yeah. And I worked there for a week working with literally guys who just know Russian, can barely speak a lick of English. And it was just terrible. But that's what I thought. I was like, I'm never going to do construction. But then I did find some joy in working this trade. So I do enjoy
it. Were you already thinking about the electric field at that point? Or was that after?
When I was working at... Oh, back at that company?
When you were going into TJ Nisbet?
No, I wasn't thinking about that at all. It was literally our youth pastor guy, Paul. He was Paul, right? That's his name?
Yeah.
He was talking about it. He said, hey, like I can get you a job here at my construction company and help you out, you know, if you don't really know what to do. And I'm like, yeah, I might try that. Never worked construction before. So I was like, let me try it. Give it a shot. And I don't know. It just wasn't for me at the time. I was young too, you know? So... yeah. I mean, before all that construction stuff, I was working customer service, Sears, as you know, a coffee shop in a hospital. I did that for a few years. Fred Meyer, Kroger company, for those of you across the US, way out there, you don't know that.
All Kroger. Three of you that are listening to this podcast.
Three.
I'm shooting high, man.
All right.
So you always thought you wanted to kind of go this electrical route. So then you got the HVAC job. How was working in the heating and cooling space?
Heating and cooling was cool.
What did you do there? That was a good pun, by the way. You said heating and cooling was cool. So that was...
Working for heating and cooling was all right. I had to buy a lot of tools. Spent like $500 on all my tools.
I bet like people are going to listen to this in like 2030. And they're going to say $500. That's like a freaking...
That's nothing.
Fast food trip right there.
Anyway, yeah, heating and cooling was cool. It was commercial. For those of you who don't know, commercial is the opposite of residential, which means you're working on like hotels, you know, different commercial buildings.
Did you work on hotels?
Office space. Our main job was building an office space.
No, hotels.
A hotel. Anyway, so we were working on a hotel for the heating and cooling company, and it was nice and all. We had a good lead. Super helpful for me for things that I didn't know, little techniques that you learn on the trade. But I mean, ultimately I wanted to become an electrician. That's why I got that heating and cooling job. When I, like on the commercial job, you see the other trades, you work with the mechanical guys, and we worked with the electricians and we would talk to them on the daily. I was there for like 3-4 months, literally on that same job. And it was a big project. And so I would talk to these electricians. I'm like, man, that's exactly what I want to do. What you guys are doing. That sounds awesome. Like, I watched them, you know, testing little voltage and all that stuff. It was cool. And so, you know, I mean, I liked my job, yes, but I would have really enjoyed doing electrical work. So that just like kind of made me feel like this job sucked. But it was a good job, ultimately, you know.
Shout out Tritech.
Tritech. Heating and
cooling. In Vancouver, Washington.
They're expensive, but they really do good work. Because we work with them now as an electrician. I work with them all the time.
And they're
really good.
Okay, so you were working at Tritech for a few months, and then you saw, or you found out that there was an opening at your current company?
Yeah, a friend of mine from my church, his dad owns the electrical company, Crown Electric. And he's like, hey, we're hiring for an apprentice. Because we were going to move to Missouri, actually. I was like, if I can't find an electrical job right here, right now, why would we stay here? Like, we were thinking about moving to Missouri. Why don't we go to Missouri right now? I'll work, you know, whatever job, trucking company maybe. I was actually thinking about a trucking company because
of course.
That's like the headquarters of trucking over there in the Midwest. And I was like, you know, I'll find an electrical company there. That's what I want to do ultimately. We'll find it. And then this guy texts me while we're in Idaho last year and on Valentine's Day. He's like, hey, I think I know how to make you stay. I'm like, oh yeah, how? Like, my dad is hiring right now for an apprentice. He wants someone who doesn't know anything about electrical so he can teach him the ways of how we do it at our company. I was like, really? I mean, I would take that. Talked to my wife about it. She was totally cool with it. And that's how it happened. He hooked me up with the job. I mean, when people say it's all about connections, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of is.
It's some engagement. It's some engagement, yeah. So what was it like getting started? Like, what was your first, I don't know, few weeks like?
Man, I remember just starting out. I had no idea what to do in the mornings because every company has their own like ways of starting out in the day, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what you're doing. Everyone has their own ways of starting out. And for us, we all meet up at the shop at 8 and you look at your job list of what you're doing that day. And you have to know what kind of materials you have for the day. And, you know, you got a shop full of materials. So you have to gather the materials, clean out your work van from the day before. And, you know, everyone's got their own system and protocols. This is how we did it. And since I was brand freaking new, I had no idea what I was doing. So I'm just kind of standing around trying to look for stuff to do. You know, my dad always taught me. Because he worked at UPS at one time. He's like, even when there's nothing to do, always just look for something to do. So he would literally even sweep the warehouse or whatever. And the bosses saw that. They're always watching. And so they saw that and they really liked him for it and they promoted him for it. So I was like, okay, I had that mindset. Always look for something to do. So I would like clean out the van, like kind of walk around, familiarize myself even with the materials in the shop. That's at least do something around there. And I never really got called out for like, you know, just standing around. So yeah, it was awkward in the beginning.
So you mentioned your dad, like before we go further, like,
yeah.
What was he thinking? What were your parents thinking when you first started pursuing this job and this career?
They were fine with it. But I mean, my dad still wanted me to go to school. Literally every time I went to my parents' house, my dad would always say, oh, so any updates on school? He would always say that, any updates? And it's like, dad, I'm not like, I would always say something like, you know, eventually I go to school, but not right now. I'm very busy. You know, I'm a married man, freshly married. You know, I just got this new job. I got to focus on this. There's electrical classes once a month on Saturdays. Got to focus. And, you know,
how many classes did you take so far?
Next month, I will start my first. And it's been a year. I haven't taken any classes. But yeah, it's tough time.
So they were still trying to push you to do more.
Yeah, of course. All the time. And it never felt like my relationship with my dad was like, you know, 100%, like this is how the best it can be. And it always felt a little off. Like he was cool with me. And like, I think I mentioned this to you, even when my grandma died, my dad's mom, that was the first time in a long time where I visited, you know, our parents, I saw my grandma and stuff cause she was just about to die like in a few days. So we all said our goodbyes and I know it's getting a little dark, I guess. So,
no, it's fine.
Okay. And I talked to my dad and stuff and, you know, my wife was there too. And it was like the first time that my dad didn't talk about school, asking for any updates. And it was just like very, is there another word for real?
Raw.
Sure. Raw.
Just like this podcast.
It was just like, it was good. I liked it. And I was like, when we were driving home, I told my wife, I'm like, that was the first time like my dad was genuine. How about that?
Genuine. Yeah,
first time that it was just like genuine conversation with my dad and it was awesome. And I wanted that back again because before it was always about, you know, my dad was always beating around the bush because he didn't want to talk. He wanted to talk about school, but I didn't want to talk about school. And so there was always that, you know, thing we didn't talk about. So, yeah.
It's always crazy, like events like that, that kind of make you think about what's important in life. But yeah, don't want to get too dark either. So, anyways, going back to it, you were starting out your first few weeks. You weren't really sure what was going on. So, like, was there like official training, or how were you like first onboarded to official the company? What? Training.
Oh, training. I don't know. See, here's the thing. I've only worked at one company my whole life doing electrical.
Yeah.
So the only experience I have is with this company, and this company training isn't. It's more like you get paired up with a lead and you just start going to work with them immediately. They'll start teaching you some stuff. You give them a little background information of what you've done in your past. And I'm like, I worked at a heating and cooling company for 3 months, 4 months. That's about it. Other than that, I did customer service stuff. So, okay, pretty much you have no experience. So they have to start from the beginning with you. And it's tough because these guys have been doing it for like 10 years.
Yeah.
So they're so used to that stuff where they start throwing out terms and stuff like, hey, grab me this material, that material. I'm like, oh, okay. And I have to look it up on Google Images quickly as I'm going to the work van and stuff. And it just sucks. Like, I don't know if it's the culture or something, but you get called an idiot, a retard, a dummy, whatever. You get called all the names.
So it's not like a PC culture.
No, it's definitely not politically correct. So that, but that's one of the reasons why I went into this thing. Like I, you know, for those who don't like customer service and all that stuff, I would say
this is complete opposite.
What?
This is like the complete opposite of
It's the complete opposite of that. Like, sure, there are customers and stuff. You talk to them, but that's not most of your day. You're barely talking with people. You're just working. You're running wire, laying pipe, and all that stuff. So, yeah. So
yeah, there wasn't anything like official. It was just really
just
on the job training. Like,
And I mean, looking back at it now, I've been into it 11 months. Pretty much 11 months. Like, I have learned a ton of stuff right now, but I don't know. Back then, I thought, oh, I'll never learn this stuff. It's so hard and stuff. But now looking back, it's like, dang, I've learned a lot. And I do like it, but it's still tough. There's three more years of this stuff I got to deal with. So
3 more years? What do you mean?
Well, to get your license, journeyman license.
Oh, so you have to do how many
years? Well, it's 4 years, 4 to 5 years total for your residential and commercial license. But in Washington, it's slightly different. It's 2 years to get your residential journeyman's and then 2 more years to get your commercial.
So. If you go to Missouri, what is that like?
I think it's somewhat similar. I looked it up and they are not a right to work state, which is the same as Washington. So you just get in, they're not union, similar stuff. So 2 years, you know, to get your,
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we move to Missouri, it'll, we just transfer my hours and we're good. We just keep
the progress going. Not trying to get too ahead of ourselves, but like, mm-hmm. What difference does that look like? Does that make both in terms of like your daily workflow and in terms of income going from apprentice to journeyman?
I mean, job wise, I would say it's pretty much the same being an apprentice versus journeyman, except that the roles will switch. You know, right now I'm the apprentice with a lead. It's always two of us working together. Whereas when I'm a journeyman, I'll be the boss and I'll have my own apprentice who's new to this stuff. So that means I won't have to do as much technically because I'll have them learning
not as much dirty work.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. All these guys, they always talk about like, oh, I can't wait to be a journeyman because I'll have my own apprentice to like, they're the ones who have to go down into the crawl space. They're the ones who have to go up into the attic, do all the dirty work. So that would be nice. And the pay is more. So that'll be good.
How much more would you say?
I mean, if you look at just my wages right now, do I have to discreetly talk about it?
Or I mean, it's up to you.
Okay. I mean, so right now in Washington, I'm making $16 an hour. It's not much. I mean, due to inflation and all that stuff, $16 an hour as an apprentice. As a journeyman, I think, I'm not entirely sure, residential journeymen make a max about $25 to $27 an hour.
Okay.
It's good, but
Commercial
is where it's at. How did you know that? I remember back when I was working at the heating and cooling company that this commercial guy, okay, I knew this guy who was 26 years old. I was 26 years old. We were both the same age. This guy's name is Gabe. Oh, yeah, he was Gabe. The foreman of this electrical company at this huge hotel we were building. And he's been an electrician since he was 18, straight out of high school, goes into the electrical field. And he's making $45 an hour doing commercial work as a foreman. I mean, I'm sure being a foreman, you're the lead.
What is the difference between a foreman and just a journeyman?
You're pretty much like the lead on the project. Like you have a crew of say 5-6 guys, or
and they're all alternate. Like journeyman and apprentice.
Yeah, they can be a mix. Yeah,
okay,
journeyman and apprentices, but you're the main boss guy. Whatever they say, you know, it doesn't really go. But they have to talk to you about like, hey, boss, is this what you want done? Is this what you want done? And you're the guy who either approves or disapproves. So, I mean, yeah, I get it. You're going to make big money doing that. And it's commercial. You're working with higher voltages and higher power and all that stuff. So that means more risk for you to die pretty much. Like higher shock and stuff. And so therefore you're going to make more money. So that's the ultimate goal. Everyone wants to go to commercial. But yeah, it's going to take a few years to get there if I stick with this field.
Got it. So what would you say like an average day looks like for you now?
I would say, I mean, okay. Again, like,
you're just a year in, right? So it's different than what it's like.
Yeah, there's that. And then every company kind of has different jobs they do. Our whole company was based off of, we do heating and cooling jobs first. That's our main thing because there's money to be made there. Not a lot of people like doing heating and cooling jobs, but we... Well,
that's why it's mostly residential too, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's all residential mainly. And, but so like we work with other companies that do heating and cooling. And so we need to hook up their units that they install. So an average day will be like, you know, we go come into the shop and we look at the whiteboard and go, okay, this is what me and my coworker, my lead is doing. We see our names on there. It's like, okay, boom, look at the paperwork. All right, it's about 15 minutes away. Let's gather the materials. Because, you know, once you get used to the job, like I've been in about a year now, I know, and I feel like I'm a good apprentice for this stuff. Like I can see, okay, we're adding a heat pump and a gas furnace inside the garage. This is the type of material I'm going to need. So let's refill the van to that stuff. And then boom, I get all that stuff and we're good. And we don't have to call a shop guy to bring in the stuff. And so I feel like I'm a good apprentice for that stuff. And yeah, I mean, it's cold sometimes and you're working outside a lot. Yeah, I mean, average day, you're going in crawl spaces, you're getting dirty. You get insulation over you. If you have to go into an attic, just don't wear your nice hoodie or whatever. Because I've had to do that. And I'm so used to wearing my nice hoodie that it's not a nice hoodie anymore. But they got the old black insulation. You're coughing your lungs out. Wear a mask. So anyway, yeah, I mean, you'll get dirty. Your knees are going to hurt like hell. Yeah, I mean, I fell off a ladder once. I smashed my knees. It was like literally 1 month in. And had to go to the hospital for that. Yeah, average day, man.
Falling off a ladder, going to the hospital, kids. That's what. Yeah,
just be careful with dog hair on the floor. You never know; those ladders slip.
Dog hair?
Dog hair.
That's what caused it.
I think so. It was in a warehouse. Did you want me to give you the details?
Yeah, let's hear the story.
We're in a warehouse working at a dog grooming place, actually a business. And in warehouses, they have this very smooth marble-like flooring.
Right. Yeah.
So you got the smooth marble-like flooring. That's slippery, right?
So is it kind of like garage flooring, or is it?
Yeah, it's like garage flooring. Okay. But it was more smooth than it's like a. When you go into Home Depot, you know, that smooth flooring. Yeah, it's that same thing. You got that. And the office lady let us use their ladder in the warehouse, which is an aluminum ladder, very light and flexible or whatever. You can just
flimsy.
Yeah, flimsy. That's the right word. And they had these rubber mats that stick on the ground real good. And I'm going around. It's a heating and cooling job. So we're adding this. It's called a mini split system. So we had to add the wire to all this stuff. So I had to climb up 10 feet or so and add this wire all around the building to get to each unit. There was like 2-3 units. Can't remember exactly. And I'm moving this ladder on top of each of these rubber sticky mats. And then my mind forgets that, oh yeah, I'm on rubber mats. There's one spot where I go, which is a hard floor, and there's dog hair on the ground. It's smooth marble like flooring. And I climb up there, nothing. And then suddenly the ladder slips like a foot. And then I was like, oh, what the heck? And then again, it falls. And my knees, like I wanted to stay standing. And so my knees slammed into the rungs of the ladder. And I ended up actually landing on the floor on my feet, but the ladder slammed into my knees and I crashed down onto the office lady who was right under me on the ladder.
Oh, wow.
But she kind of dived out of the way. And the first thought in my head was like, who cares about me? Like I just... The ladder fell on top of this lady. So I quickly ran to the lady and picked her up, like helped her up. And I was like, are you okay and stuff? She's like, yeah, I'm good. And I was like, okay, good, good. And I walked back to the ladder ready to pick it up. And then I couldn't really stand properly. And I started feeling dizzy and all that. And I saw like blood seeping through my black jeans. So I went to the bathroom immediately. Yeah, my knees were messed up. So I had to get taken to the hospital.
See, but your first thought, man, it's about the lady.
It's about the other people.
Or about helping people.
Helping people, even though I don't care about people, I still help people. That's the premise of this whole story.
That's cool, man. It's
yeah, bro.
It's changing. So, I mean, heating and cooling is a big chunk of it. I know you do like you mentioned earlier, rough-ins a lot as well. Like, is there a point where you know exactly what you're going to do at every single job, and it's just like Oh, it just kind of clicks in your head, or does it change every single day?
I mean, somewhat. If you were to tell me that I'm doing a roughing today, I have a good picture of what I'm supposed to do. Although we did like a whole neighborhood of like 25 different houses, but they're all the same template. It's like cookie cutter houses, you know, those type of neighborhoods. Yeah. And well, like your house, for example.
No, this is unique.
Come on, this house and the houses on the same street, they all have the
very same different.
Very similar layout though. You got your study over there? Anyway. So,
but I'm different.
We all have, when I knew it was roughing time, I'm like, all right, I was scared of roughings at first, but it's like, okay, I know somewhat of the similar rules and stuff. You know, bathrooms have 12 gauge wire while, you know, they all got to jump to each other. All the bedrooms are connected to each other using a smoke alarm. Yeah, they actually hooked up the alarms together. Anyway, like I would expect the same thing. I was prepared for the day.
So a lot of this is like pretty ordinary. Like it's the same thing. Like what gives you challenges? Like what things are hard? Like a year in, like
what are my weaknesses? Are you asking?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the question. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for me personally, my weaknesses are when we have kitchen remodels, I would say, because just for me, when I see a whole floor that has nothing on there, no cabinets, no microwave, no fridge, no stove, nothing like that. It's just bare floor and then walls, not even walls. They have studs, you know, the pieces of wood going up and down. And all I have to look at is the plans. And, you know, it's for me, it's hard to look at the plans and just like, oh yeah, yeah, this is the measurements here. This is how you do everything. And where am I supposed to stick the wires? You know, you got your stove there. You have to add a plug for the stove specifically. You have a microwave. You have to have a dedicated circuit to that. And then you have your, you know, for your fridge, that has to be a separate circuit for that too. And then your kitchen plugs have different rules. And then, you know, you got different plans for how the cabinets are all moved around and stuff. Yeah. It's just, it's hard for me to see what it's going to be like later when all I see right now is just flat surface. So that's really hard for me to picture in my head. I'm trying to get better at it, but we'll see.
It's less like a cookie cutter, like you were saying.
Yeah, it's different. It's the same thing. Every single home is literally the same thing. You're like, oh yeah, I've been doing this. I did this 5 times already. I can easily do this for 20 more homes, you know? But when you do a kitchen remodel for a house that's been there for years and stuff, like they were just like, oh yeah, I want to change my kitchen. That's different. So it's definitely more difficult. So I'm trying to get better at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you're like a pros and cons kind of guy. So like, so far for your job and just like what you've been doing this last year, what would you say are the pros versus the cons?
All right. Some of my pros for me personally, my pros are, I love the casual aspect of it. Like you can say how you can talk however you want. You don't have to have that professional, how do you say?
Fluff.
How do you say? Professional fluff or whatever with other people when Lingo. You're talking to them. Lingo, yeah. It's more of a casual aspect. Like, I mean, you see on the construction field, everyone's chewing, smoking tobacco, drinking. Okay, not drinking, I guess, but smoking a
lot. Hopefully not on the job, yeah.
But hey, you see it sometimes. People are drinking. I've seen shoes hopefully not in the porta potties. Yeah, so I do like that. That's definitely a pro, that people are just very casual and stuff. You don't have to like have that professional lingo or whatever. That's definitely a pro. The con is your body hurts. Like after a long day of work, if you're working hard, adding, you know, cutting through ceilings and stuff, climbing through attics and crawl spaces and climbing up and down ladders and stuff, hammering, you know, wire, stapling wire and whatever, like it's a pain. Like you hurt at the end of the day. And especially for those of you guys who work out and stuff in the mornings before doing a trade job, like that hurts real bad. So that's definitely a con.
More pros other than just it's a casual environment? Because I'm sure there are plenty of casual environments. Biggest
things. I like the casual environment. Okay. Another positive is learning a skill with your hands. Like I do really like that. Like having the ability to, okay. So everyone lives in a house, apartment or whatever, and they all have lights. They have light switches. They have plugs. They have heaters of some sort. We, the electricians, are the ones who add that stuff. So I do like everyone has an electrical panel in their garage or some room or whatever. So I do like having that power, that ability to fix and work on that stuff. So there's a big market for that stuff because like, right. Everyone has that, you know, a different
electrical. It's not going to go away.
Yeah, exactly. It'll never go away. At least I don't think so. So I do like that I'll have that ability forever to, you know, I have those, I'm learning those skills to fix that stuff. So that's definitely a good pro right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like it can take a toll on your body. But overall it sounds like a job, like for someone that's hands-on and likes to work hands-on.
Oh yeah, for sure. If you're hands-on, it's really good.
Yeah. Okay. So if you were to go back like 5-10 years, to yourself or to someone else considering pursuing like an electrician job, what kind of advice would you give them? Like, what should they think about? What should they learn? Anything like that?
So are you saying to tell someone who already wants to have an electrical
job? Who's considering
job?
The electrical
okay, job. Okay, if yeah. they're considering an electrical job, and how old are they? Like high school?
High school, college, yeah.
If they're in high school, like I actually went to school with this guy in high school. I can't remember his name or anything, but I remember he wanted to be an electrician. Like as soon as he got out of high school, like that was his life dream. And as soon as he got out of high school, you know, he graduated and he just went straight into the apprenticeship. And like, I'm sure he's successful now because he didn't jump around and all that stuff. Like, okay, I do understand that there are some people who, you know, they got to jump around and figure out what they want to do in life. But this guy, like,
he had to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to figure it out. And, like, I guess it goes back to my regret when I was younger. I wish I had just graduated high school and just jumped right into what I wanted to do. But then again, like, how would I have known what to do in my life if I hadn't jumped around and tested out all these different things in life? I mean, I don't know how to answer that properly.
Yeah, I think, and this is something that I know you haven't heard this yet, but like on my podcast with Mikhail Trubinsky, we were talking about the fact that like kind of the biggest thing that like piece of advice that he had for people is just to execute, like to do something. Like if you have an idea about something, just do it.
Yeah.
Because if it's not the right idea, you'll figure it out. You'll move on to something else. But if you just kind of sit around wondering if it's the right idea, you won't get there. So like, it's kind of the same thing here. Like you wouldn't have gotten to where you're at today if you hadn't done all these other things. So I guess from what I'm hearing from you is just like, just do it. Like if you think this is the right thing, just do it. If you're not sure, then just do something else. Cause then you're going to figure out and you're going to make your way to the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I regret having switched many degrees, 5-6 degrees, as much as I regret switching jobs multiple times, like if I hadn't done those many different jobs, I wouldn't have figured out that, oh, I do enjoy doing electrical work. You know, I do enjoy doing this stuff because like, you know, there, you can't get that experience.
Yeah.
Not doing that. So.
Yeah. And again, like the earlier you do that and the earlier you figure out
yeah.
what you're going to do and what you love to do and what you're best at, like that's more power to you. Right. Cause like,
exactly.
You know, if you started this when you were 22 instead of, you know, 26, like you could have been a journeyman, you could have been a foreman by now. I know, right?
That's one of my biggest regrets.
Yeah. But again, you can't,
whatever. You can't
rush it. Like, yeah, you can't change the past. Exactly. Yep. So no, that's really cool, man. Well, I guess final remarks, anything else that you want to tell the person out there that's wanting to know more about electrical work or anything else that you want to let them know about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I would say just look up, you know, whatever state you're living in and whatever, just do your research on that state where you're living in, because it is different in every state. You know, whatever rules that I was looking at in Oregon, it was different in Washington. And I had no idea about that stuff until I talked to my friend who knew about all that stuff and had the knowledge. And I did waste some time, you know, just waiting a year or so because I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do with the laws and municipality rules and all that stuff. So, you know, just look it up online. I mean, there's so much information out there. So, yeah.
Google is a very powerful friend. But no, yeah, like there's so much available online that, again, like the worst thing you can do is sit around and wait and expect things to come to you. The best thing you can do is ask questions and find things out. So no, Daniel, I really appreciate the time here today. Thanks for sharing what you did. I'm really sure people out there could benefit from the conversation, especially as they're thinking about what the next steps are in life and in their careers. So I really hope to all the listeners, if you have any questions or concerns, feel free to reach out, and hopefully have a great rest of your day.